The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Comcast, Verizon, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, Bears fans. And from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall here in Lake Forest, the first edition of the 2017 Bears Coaches Show. Head coach John Fox, pleased to be joining you once again, third year in a row, and glad you're here. How's things going?
Well, pretty good. I think it's been a while since we've won our third preseason game around here, so it was, I know at least in our tenure, it was our first one, and I was pleased with the way the guys performed.
Yeah, it has the last three all on the road. They put you on the road for all these three, and against good teams, teams that have sights set on playoffs over the years. And your entire preseason has been teams that have their eyeball on the playoffs and have been thought of as contenders.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a talented Tennessee team. We played a year ago in the regular season, lost a close contest here at Soldier Field. And, you know, they've pieced together a pretty good offensive personnel group, I think up front, running back, quarterback, obviously. So, you know, I think that was a good test for us.
All three units delivered big in this one, right?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we kind of deferred the coin toss that we won just to kind of give our defense a chance to set the tempo. And I believe they got one first down. I think they went for it on fourth down. But we were able to stop them soon after that. The offense got the ball and drove 96 yards.
That's a big smile drive. Is that? And I imagine from Mike Glennon, he was dialed in. You could tell. You could just tell. You probably learned a heck of a lot more about him over the course of camp than you knew before, but even in that game.
Yeah, I think he was very decisive. I think, you know, it's really the preseason game that you put the most effort in as far as game plan and studying the opponent. You know, do some pre-snap things that can obviously help a quarterback to have answers, and, you know, I think he delivered.
Yeah, that standard week of prep. You can't discount that for anybody, especially a guy. And you've said it many times, he's good at the line of scrimmage. So you got to study to be good at the line of scrimmage.
No doubt. And, you know, I don't know that the first two preseason games, but, you know, pretty much around the league, you're not game planning. You're not looking at a lot of tape. You might get a few carded plays the day before the game. You know, that wasn't ideal really for any of the quarterbacks that the new guys are all, you know, first of our first three guys on our depth chart are new to us.
Crazy. When you look at the last 2 years, how many quarterbacks that you have put on that field. And frankly, despite the overall record, varying degrees of success along the way. So that speaks well to levels of preparation and coaching.
Yeah, I think, you know, really our guys did a superb job. You know, people are always critical. That's what we sign up for. But, you know, I think when you look at, you know, we were on our third quarterback and Matt Barkley, who wasn't even, you know, here this time of year ago. So, you know, all those things considered, I think, you know, they did a pretty good job.
And also Mitchell Trubisky, 10 of 15, 128, and a big quarterback rating. His performance as well, highlighted by that big touchdown throw to Tanner Gentry.
Yeah, I think, you know, we probably slowed down the first series, you know, starting third quarter was a three and out. So that wasn't a great start. But once he settled in, I think once our group settled in, you know, I think Mitch played very well. You know, you can see his athleticism. You know, I've been impressed with what I've seen really in all of his outings.
And Mark Sanchez will get time in the Cleveland game Thursday?
Yes. Yeah, I think we may or may not play him. I don't want to go off here. We haven't really visited on that much. But, you know, we kind of know what he can do. When he's been in there, he's been good. He's gotten plenty of reps in practice. We're pretty aware of what he's capable of.
All right, all three of these guys, and you know Connor Shaw because he's been here the longest out of anybody. What have you learned as the head coach about these three gentlemen as men and as football players and the things you look for in the heart?
Well, I think they're great teammates. You know, they're honestly concerned about each guy in that room. There's not a lot of selfishness as far as who's getting to play, not a lot of whining on who's getting the play time, you know, which I think, you know, a good team, any team, you know, shares those values. So, you know, I like the way they root for each other. I like the way they help each other, whether it's on the sideline or in the meeting room. But it's a good group and it's a good room.
At any point, given what was being discussed outside this building, were you concerned at any point about what it would do to that room?
Well, I think you always get concerned. You know, that's kind of what we do. But, you know, I think you talk to guys enough. They understand, you know, what this league's about and, you know, how popular it is and how much noise there is outside the building. And, you know, the more they can focus and stick to what's in the room, I think the better off they'll be. And I think they've done a great job.
You're going to continue to be asked about the depth chart, not only at that position but others. But there's still several – there's a couple weeks here before you go toe-to-toe with your first opponent, so there's still a lot that can happen.
Well,
look,
I mean,
what happened even last year.
Yeah,
you often bring it out.
Yeah,
I mean, Jordan Howard had a big fourth game.
Yeah,
right?
I think, you know, this thing's always changing, you know, regardless of how things are going. You know, when you run off, you know, six wins in a row, you're always two games away from disaster. That's just the way this league is. You know, it's topsy-turvy and season to season, and when you've looked at it you know, as long as I have, you know how fast it can change.
Well, given what's going on around the league, I don't know how much you've kept an eye on it, but the quarterback position in particular, there's a lot of change going on. I mean, in other town, in Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor's got a concussion. You got guys winning starting jobs that didn't anticipate winning starting jobs. You got three ex-Bears quarterbacks starting around the league that used to be here. Do you feel you have a position of strength with your quarterbacks you have here right now?
Well, it's still early. You know, I'd rather kind of understate, overproduce, and I just know that I like our room. I like our locker room. I like that quarterback room, along with, you know, a bunch of other positions. And, you know, we'll time will tell. We get a chance to put it out there.
All right, bad news on the injury front, no question. There is not anybody I spoke to that isn't heartbroken about Cam Meredith because of what he's overcome to be where he is today, but ACL tear, and that ends his season. Same story for Patrick Scales. You can't get two nicer guys.
No, I
and
mean,
good teammates.
Oh, they're great teammates and great people. And obviously, you know, anytime, you know, you see something like that taken away from a guy, you know, obviously they're disappointed. Their family's disappointed. And, you know, they'll be in our thoughts and prayers for sure.
All right, new long snapper comes in. Will this be a competitive thing with Bradley Sowell, or will this be somebody you're just going to take a look at right now? Jeff Overbaugh from San Diego State. Of course, long snappers don't grow on trees either, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you saw two trades for him today. You know,
unreal,
so I think,
right?
You know, obviously, we'll just keep looking. We give Jeffrey an opportunity and, you know, see what he does with it this week against Cleveland. You know, I think Bradley stepped in, did a wonderful job. I mean, we're having to get his gloves off the field, playing offensive tackle as well as long snapping and short snapping. You know, it's good to have that kind of guy. He's very athletic, and we were lucky to have him, you know, in Tennessee. And we'll see where it takes us.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Glenn in under center eye formation. Burton, the fullback, ahead of Howard. Play action fake throwing. Right corner of the end zone. Uncovered. Deion Sims. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. 1 yard toss. Glenn to Sims. Bears strike first here in Tennessee.
Oh, Mike Lennon was superb on that drive. So were several other components. Five different players caught passes on that drive, including three third down catches by Kendall Wright, and the finish was big. I know we were talking about it in the broadcast. It was such a great drive. Well conceived, balanced, the whole bit. Okay, now you got to finish. And sure enough, that's what the Bears did, and they go on to beat the Tennessee Titans 19-7 last night. Mike Glennon, the Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Hallisaw, Chicago Bears Network Studios with head coach John Fox. Let's go talk defense now, because that may be the most underrated story and maybe the most uncovered story of the entire preseason, given all the attention on quarterback play. But only one touchdown allowed in three games. In this particular game, no points until the fourth quarter. That's not the first team defense either. 2 of 7 on third down, yards per carry down across the board. Maybe one run in the Denver game, late in the game, that you'd say you want back. One throw deep over the middle, and guys missed a tackle yesterday. But other than that, got to be very, very hopeful and pleased by what you saw.
No doubt. You know, I think the guys in that room have, you know, kind of set the standard. You know, the coaches have done an excellent job. Bick and his the whole side of the ball on defense have done a tremendous job. So, you know, it's really guys responding and guys doing their job and doing it united, and so far so good.
Front seven excellence has really been really the strength of the team, is what most people thought going in. I'm sure you thought the same way, along with tight end as positions of strength. Akeem Hicks last week calling it scheme familiarity has really helped the guys who've been here. Do you agree?
Oh, no doubt. You know, I think guys are more comfortable. They're not thinking. You know, they're not having paralysis by analysis. You know, they're cutting loose and playing. And we've got everybody healthy. You know, we lost a lot of guys a year ago. So, you know, it's been a good offseason. They've attacked it, and I think we're starting to reap the benefits.
It does take everybody, but if you can get guys that are going to have to be doubled up front. Now, you look at Akeem yesterday. He was pushing that pocket. He was almost unstoppable at times. And with Eddie Goldman, the way these two work off each other, how will that spring other guys to make plays in the defense, not alone what they're going to make up front, if everything goes well?
Well, you know, we lost Eddie for, you know, a large majority of the season last year, so getting him back obviously helps. You know, I think, Mitch Unrein didn't play in the last two games. You know, Jonathan Bullard was really starting to come on. You know, Roy's had a fantastic camp. He's a big guy that I think continues to improve. So, you know, the more of a cycle you can get through there, keep guys fresh and keep them going through there, I think the better we'll be.
Settling the safety situation, while that is continues to be a competitive situation, but getting more reps with Eddie Jackson, the rookie, and Quentin Demps. How important is it to have two guys like that in sync back there at that position?
Well, I think, you know, Quentin's been obviously a big help, you know, for Eddie. You know, new to the system, as a rookie. You know, he comes with a good football IQ coming out of Alabama. But still, there's nuances, and it's a new language. You know, it's terminology he's never heard before. So, you know, Quentin's been big in helping Eddie develop. And, you know, Eddie's got tremendous skills, ball skills, as well as cover ability.
In terms of the other injuries yesterday, anything a red flag concern?
You know, a little bit. Prince, he tweaked his ankle some. We'll kind of take that day to day. But obviously the two most serious ones, you know, were both Patrick and Cam.
That being said, I did an interview last week for the pregame show for yesterday's game with Kyle Fuller, short one. He was smiling, which you didn't see very much a year ago, even the year before that. And I said, Kyle Fuller's starting to look a little bit like Kyle Fuller out there. Do you see that, too, when you put on the old Kyle tape and put it on now?
Well, no doubt. Yeah, I think, whenever a guy gets hurt, you know, it can be frustrating, and frustrating for everybody. So, you know, he dealt with that. He hung in there. He did a lot of work this offseason to rehab that injury. And, I've been very impressed with what I've seen with him, you know, not just on the field, but off the field in his preparation.
As the running game gets going, we saw another glimpse of why everybody loves Jordan Howard. The guy does finish his runs, doesn't he?
Oh, no doubt. You know, he's a big bruising back. We've kind of, dealt a lot of the carries away from him up till this past Sunday. And, you know, I think we've got a good room there. You know, I think Tariq Cohen obviously is flash. He didn't get a lot of action. He was going to get most of his action as a return guy, and they punted away from him. So you didn't see a whole lot of that other than a fair catch. But, he's explosive. I think Benny Cunningham's new to us. With Kadeem Carey, having the wrist surgery, I think, that's a guy that stepped up. And then, we got a chance to get Jeremy Langford back, and we haven't seen him in a while, but he's starting to come around.
And those couple of runs he had, he looked explosive right out of the gate, so that was a good sign. You know, that ankle ruined him last year.
No doubt. You know, and he probably came back a little too early. I think he was, a little bit sensitive, and he had an off-season surgery that I think, he's mended from, and he's slowly getting more acclimated to taking care of his work.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
High left for Trubisky on 2nd and 14. Play fake to the pocket. It's clean. He throws deep down the left side, over the shoulder. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! And it's Tanner Gentry with the spike of the football. Kid can play, folks. Flat out can play. 45-yard strike. Mitchell Trubisky hooking up with Tanner Gentry. Rookie to rookie.
Yeah, it was a fun play. So after that, Big John, Tom says, well, which kid can play? And I said, oh, yeah, both. I was referring at that time to Gentry because you got to finish the play. And he has really been one of the surprises. Maybe not a surprise. Maybe he's not a surprise to you guys. But I think for the common fan, the regular Joe fan, he's a guy that's coming out of nowhere. What did you think when you signed him?
Well, I think I knew his coach pretty well there at the University of Wyoming. And, he was very productive there. He's big. He's fast, straight line. He's very competitive. I know the special teams coaches have been impressed with his toughness, all across and all the fourth down.
And you had him a gunner.
Yes. And the kid just keeps making plays. He's done it all camp. You know, you see a little bit of it in games. Obviously, Sunday was a big catch, and you know, I think you know, obviously he's turning people's eyes.
Yeah, he definitely is. He had a great career at Wyoming with a very good quarterback who will be coming into the draft next year. I touched on him being a gunner as well, trying him at gunner. Let's talk special teams because last year it was still a process. Now you got guys making plays last week as well as this week. So big plays, too, not just small plays, big game-changing plays.
Yeah, we've had, you know, two scoring plays. You know, a safety yesterday against a punt team, and we're blocking a punt. And then, you know, taking that return back Deontay did against Arizona. So those are things I think we've got better return people. We have more speed in the coverage units. You know, I think Connor Barth is a little bit more accustomed to our – you know, maybe not now with our snapper, but, right. You know, the holder and all that operation, you know, picked him up late in the year at the 53-man roster a year ago. So he's more comfortable with those specialists. And you know, I think we've just gotten better across the board.
And you got return specialists that you've yet to be determined on who's going to be where, but some very intriguing prospects there as well.
No doubt. And I think you need that depth. You know, you can't have just one guy be able to do it. And, you know, we've got a little bit more of a stable of guys that are capable, and we've improved our team speed for sure.
The other thing, the operation, as you referred to it, is it going to be something now you're going to hold your breath with the long snapping situation until it settles into a rhythm? Because that takes reps.
Well, I held it pretty hard when put Bradley Soule in, as he's our emergency guy. All right. So, you know, we did sign a kid today. But, you know, we'll kind of keep our eyes open and look through that across the league. It's a big part of the, you know, the operation, snap, hold, and kick, and something we'll continue to look at.
The other thing about that block punt, Roy Robertson-Harris, who's long and he's 6'7", and he's got long arms, destroyed the long snapper there, got by him, boom, and then Shaheen does his thing. But to get there, you had Sheriff McManus had it down that punt where he caught, not down the punt, but tackle the guy in the open field, which he's great at. And what an asset to have a guy like that down there. And certainly Josh Bellamy, when healthy, is certainly that type of guy, too.
Yeah, Sheriff does a tremendous job. He's very unselfish. And, you know, all those guys that cover kicks and play on teams, you know, I call them the real men. And those guys are a valuable part. And unfortunately, we haven't had Josh out in a couple weeks, but hopefully he'll be healthy and ready for Atlanta.
You know what was funny the other day at practice ends? And Josh Bellamy is chirping and chirping and chirping. But you know what? At the end of practice, you know what group he was in? Did you notice this? He was in the quarterback group. He is chatting up the quarterbacks. He's breaking them down in the quarterback group. That's funny.
He's enthusiastic. And I love his energy. And I think it spreads amongst our football team. And he's done a great job for us.
Do you like the new rule about the cut to 53? Because ordinarily you'd be cutting guys today. And now they get them, and so you don't have to play a guy 60, 70 snaps in a game, this game on Thursday. Do you like it? But then after that, it's going to be quite the show to go and get guys you want, maybe off waivers and whatnot.
Yeah, I think anytime you do the cuts, you know, whether it was last year or this year, I think anytime you let guys go that you build a relationship with, you've been with them since, you know, April. You know, it's not easy, but I do think the rule itself is good because it lets you get through this fourth preseason game with a full 90. You know, people can cut down if they want, maybe selective guys, so you don't risk injury going into that fourth preseason game. But I like the new rule. I think it gives you flexibility, and I'm excited.
But it will be almost like another draft, won't it? Because everybody's out there at once in the big fish pond.
No doubt. Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, you know, earlier in our, I think, opening of camp press conferences, that, you know, for the first time this year, I honestly feel like we'll be able to pick our team from this roster. If something, you know, shocking happens, I'm sure we can go outside, but we're not going to be forced to go outside.
With Cam going down, what is your level of concern about the depth at that position now?
Well, I think anytime you lose a player of Cam's ability, I think he was our leading receiver last year. He was a guy that was having a big year, big camp this year. You know, obviously that's a blow, but, you know, we'll find somebody that will step up. You know, I thought Kendall Wright had a tremendous camp. He had a great day against the Titans. You know, I think Kevin White, you know, knock on wood, staying healthy and getting better every day. And then we're going to need somebody to step up. And, you know, guys like Josh Bellamy that you mentioned, Deontay Thompson, You know, there's a long list that those guys will get an opportunity.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring strength and conditioning coach Jason George. Brought to you by PNC, Comcast, Miller Lite, and the Village of Bedford Park. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Mariota's under center. He's got a pair right and one left. Tight coverage up front. Safety's deep. Back to throw. Here comes Eddie Goldman, and then comes Shaquem Hicks. Down he goes. Sacked on the play. Hicks and Goldman combine on a very good, strong rush again. The Bears are teeing off on this offensive line.
Shaquem Hicks gets credit with a sack in yesterday's win over the Tennessee Titans. Welcome back to the program. Pleased to be joined by strength and conditioning coordinator Jason George. Good evening, man. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So I had two guys in that highlight that are super strong. Yeah. So you must be very happy with what they do in that weight room, because Shaquem Hicks is a mountain of a man. And yesterday he was just pushing that pocket, collapsing the pocket right at the feet of Marcus Mariota, and Eddie Goldman coming on strong again. Great high hopes for him. Those are two guys I'd like to start with right out of the gate, just because these are two of your probably strongest guys on the team.
No question. I'm excited about what both sides of the line are doing and our entire front seven really on defense. But Eddie Goldman's an explosive, excellent athlete. Shaquem Hicks is just a mountain of a man who can, you know, everything he does in the weight room seems to transfer great over to the field. And he made a sack on Mariota yesterday where he actually had the guard in his hands and he reached around the guard and then got to the quarterback. So he's a big dude.
That's the key right there, taking it from the weight room to the field. And that's obviously your mission. Is it a challenging mission, or are some guys just, it's almost automatic, they can take it from there to there?
We try to take a good blend in our approach of some old school techniques, but we want to make it functional. So we really, in the off season, they can get into, you know, wherever they are, having a little bit more. Some guys like to go back to the old school squat and bench and stuff. But when they get here, we want to make sure that they're explosive. We want to make sure that they're powerful, that their range of motion is maximized. So we're more interested in how they move, and it's movement training for us more than it is just loading up a bunch of weight and seeing how strong and how much weight they can move in the weight room as opposed to what they're doing on the field.
Some guys need that mentally, though, right?
Yeah.
They want to feel like, you know, I got it all going on, but that's not a necessity all the time.
No question. I think a lot of people who've been around football have seen the weight room warriors who can't take it to the field and transfer. I actually get more excited when we get a guy who's a little underdeveloped but a great athlete, because you can take real big steps with a person like that from the weight room to the field and see the results and development. Leonard Floyd's going to be a great example for us this year. I think he's worked really hard. He's put on a lot of muscle mass, but more importantly, he's gained a lot of strength and a lot of confidence, and I'm really excited to see his progression in year two.
Yeah, that confidence is a key.
No question.
It's not something that can be understated, because if a guy just doesn't feel he can hang on at that level against those guys on the other team, it's really going to mute everything else. They start thinking about that sometimes. Do you have to play psychologist sometimes with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually doing my PhD in sports psychology, but
no kidding.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
Are you close to finishing?
No.
Just getting rolling?
I'm just scratching the surface of it, but I really think that the mental aspect is underrated in professional sport in general, but I think combined with the physical and just setting daily goals and putting your mind to work on something, you know, a long-term goal takes a bunch of short-term steps. And like I said, Leonard has been a great example of a guy who's come in probably a little underdeveloped in terms of his strength, but taking a great stride from year one to year two. There was a play in Arizona where it wasn't even, he's known for his pass rush, but he took on a run blocker and made a play that he wouldn't have done a year ago. And I was really excited about something that maybe doesn't make the stat line or the highlight film. But when you see a guy taking steps like that, you get really excited.
Do you watch the tape of the games like the coaches do for those little hints that there's progress being made?
Absolutely. I mean, I consider myself a football coach who's working in the physical aspect of the sport. We kind of look at parameters of performance for the athletes, and it's physical, mental, technical, tactical, and, you know, a position coach is in charge of their technical skills. The coordinators are in charge of, the tactical areas, the strength conditioning staff is the physical, and we're all playing a little bit of a psychologist role mentally with our guys.
The Bears Coaches Show with strength and conditioning coach Jason George and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Mariota in the gun, Henry on his left hip, three receivers straddled across the right side. Here's the snap, pressure coming, Mariota in trouble, he's eaten up and down he goes. Willie Young sacks Mariota. Back around the 47-yard line of the Bears.
That came in the second quarter. Willie Young gets the sack of the Bears, get a 19-7 win over the Tennessee Titans. They'll be home Thursday to meet the Cleveland Browns to wrap up the preseason. And that game is brought to you by Hall of Fame partner United Airlines. United, proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. Here with Jason George. Let's talk Willie Young, because he's got a very linear body, but that should not be mistaken for being a guy that doesn't have a lot of muscle. He does have a big bubble, as they like to say, so that there's a lot of power generated there. Do you like guys that have that type of frame, even though they're so long, to have that bubble where the power base comes from?
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it if you're going to be a power lifter, but for a football player, that's ideal. You want some length with your players. That gives you more opportunities to do different things, get your hands up in the air for a pass rush. There's all types of things. So all our guys are coming different shapes and sizes, and you know, there's different ones within different position groups, and they all bring something a little bit different to the skill set that they can manage with different body types.
Rookies have the biggest challenge, I would say. Forget about what talent they come in with, but because of the way it's set up, after their college season, they hire a trainer. They hire their agent. The agent gets them with the right trainer. They work for the combine for just the 40-yard dash, frankly, most of it. And then the moment they get drafted, the next minute they are now a member of the organization, and now their life changes completely, and now they are still working, and now you get them, and you say, okay, this is what we need you to do. So by the time the season's probably November, they're hitting walls.
No question.
Right? So they haven't had time really to actually get the strength, the fundamental stuff that you need them to do. So do you work closely with these guys to make sure you keep them fresh, yet try to start the process of structuring their workouts to fit what your schemes are asking of them?
Absolutely. I mean, like you mentioned, as soon as their off season or their college season is over, they're in training for the combine. They're going through the combine. They're getting ready for their pro days. They're doing workouts on the side. They get to the draft, and then they get in our building. They've been working for about 8, 9, 10 months straight. So we have to be very cautious of not overworking them and you know, trying to develop their NFL body. The NFL is so much different than college. If you look at the number of games they're playing in college, average 11 or 12 game schedule. If you look at an NFL season, 2 weeks of training camp, 4 preseason games, and then a 17-week schedule that has 16 games in it, you know, they're hitting the rookie wall when the college season would be over probably about week 12, you know, so it's a very different situation, and they got to learn to prepare their bodies and learn to recover. So, you know, nutrition's a big factor. A device that we brought in, we've used it in Denver in the last couple of years here, called the Catapult System. It measures training load on our players. We're very aware of everything that they're doing on the field. If they're doing more work one day, we're going to try to get them more recovery for the next. So we're trying to measure a bunch of different things and educate them at the same time.
What does that system specifically do? How is it measured?
It's not just a GPS. It's more than a GPS system. So it's kind of measuring your X and Y coordinates, whether you're moving laterally and forward, but up and down as well. And it's got a gyroscope in there that measures accelerations, decelerations, change direction, how many times you change off your left foot versus your right foot and cut in one direction versus the other. And it gives you a training load formula. And over time, you can see how much an individual player can handle a certain amount of load and how he's self-reporting. And we're just trying to make good decisions based on all the data that we get with the metrics we're getting from the Catapult system.
The way you described it, the first person I think of is Tariq Cohen.
He lights that thing up.
That's the first thing.
Yeah, that guy can move, and he's a special athlete. And, you know, a training load for Tariq Cohen's not going to be the same as a Willie Young. So we really have learned individualized approaches, not just for position groups, but also for body types and different players. And you know, when he reaches a certain level, we really start pushing the recovery processes with him. And if he reaches in training camp, he was hitting ridiculous levels on the catapult system. We actually gave him a rookie day off, which is almost unheard of, but he was lighting that machine up so much that he deserved it.
Can it also allow you to pinpoint, like, weaknesses in the structure of the body in specific areas because of the load or so forth?
We have more sophisticated tools than the catapult to do that, so we'll do biomechanics screening assessments and see if a guy is tight on his one hip, and it gives us ways to individualize the workout and recovery programs that we have for our players. So, that, you know, we use a functional movement screen. It's kind of a quick, dirty assessment for biomechanics. And then from there, we take that information and look at it a little deeper and put our hands on guys and just make sure that they're trying to be real clean with all their movement techniques. And if they got one tight muscle, it might be slightly rotating a hip, where we're spending a lot of time and making sure that they're doing things right to correct those things.
Veterans probably are, but are the young guys honest, especially now, guys trying to make a team? If you ask them a question about something, hey, you know, this might not, according to our analytics here, something could be not great. We got to peel you back a little bit. Do you think that they're honest?
You know what? It has to be an honest relationship between us and the players, because if we're going off bad information, we're not going to make great decisions. So I think a lot of the colleges have moved to a more sophisticated system that the NFL uses, and some teams like us are using. So they're familiar with the process, and they get familiar with the process going through the NFL Combine that uses some of the same type of screening things. So there's a familiarity there that breeds a little trust, and they usually give us good information to make decisions on.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Hey, everybody, start the season opening weekend off right with a day of music, food, football, and fun at the Miller Lite Bears Block Party in Logan Square, Saturday, September 9th. Get complete event details at ChicagoBears.com. Remaining moments with Jason George. Let's try and do a rapid-fire thing here, because I'm keenly interested in some of this stuff. Jordan Howard,
big physical back. I'm excited to see how he progresses into year two, and he's been great with us this year.
And he did say he cut some body fat, so was he a good weight room guy and really went through what you wanted him to get through?
Absolutely, yeah. He's done a great job for us, and I'm looking forward to the needles pointing up on him even more this year.
All right, Kevin White, obviously, because he has lived in a rehab mode for the past few years, which has got to be mundane and difficult. Yep. Where's he at?
He's full speed. He's fully ready to go. You know, you wish he got more experience on the field the last 2 years, but it is what it is. Physically, he's done a great job. He's really focused on a lot of corrective work, and he's a strong, big receiver as it is. So he's done a good job getting himself back to where he is right now.
And how are you handling the impatience, I should say, because he's a fidgety guy, of Kyle Long right now? What do you have him doing? How can he help close the gap on getting back on the field, other than just the natural healing process?
Right. We've got short-term goals that we use in our return-to-play protocol, and just getting his mind focused on each step that he needs to show us to get back to full speed on the field. And he's really recommitted himself in his mind to the rehab process here. He's done a great job with our trainers, and his return-to-play stuff, he's done an excellent job refocusing with us. And we are looking forward to getting him back on the field shortly.
As we were discussing in the break, as powerful as a human could be, correct?
Yeah, we were at the big indoor facility in Bourbonnais where our weight room was set up, and we throw med balls around there as part of our workout plan. And he was the only guy who was hitting the top of the ceiling with 10-pound med balls. It was pretty ridiculous to watch.
All right, last question. Roy Robertson-Harris is an intriguing body type, and coming off the bus, that's a football player. Mm-hmm. Is he increased, given what he had to go through last year with his illness, a lot of strength?
Absolutely, yeah. He was an outside linebacker in college and a little more undersized and what you would call a tweener, and he really committed himself to putting on the muscle mass to play defensive line for us. And he's an explosive guy. When you take an athlete and bulk him up a little bit and you hope he maintains his athleticism, he might even gotten a little bit better. So he's been exciting to work with and watch.
As I said, we could have talked about this stuff for an hour. Jason George, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show tonight. For Bears head coach John Fox, strength coach Jason George, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to producer Dan Barilli, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears-Browns, Soldier Field, Thursday night, pregame at 6, kickoff at 7. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Have a great night, everybody.